Welcome back to the Pole Position Podcast. My name is Tyler, his name is Brian, and we have some spicy stuff to talk about today. My goodness, ever since that race finished, I was waiting to start recording this podcast because I just want to gloat for the next hour, really.
Is it more that you maybe got it right, or is it more that the team you wanted to won? Like, is it like 6 and 1 half dozen of the other? It's the same.
Let me break down this whole structure. Lando won. Okay. The greatest racer of all time, Yuki Tsunoda, came P7. Okay. I got to watch the Mercs struggle in the midfield.
That's nothing new.
No, really, honestly, there was one downside, and that was Piastri, because he was on for a podium finish.
Yes.
He was running P2. He was keeping up with Verstappen 3 seconds behind him, keeping the Ferraris behind. Oh boy. I want to get into Carlos Sainz.
I got stuff about Carlos Sainz, and he gets graded accordingly. So, I mean,
you let me go past. I have more praise.
That's exactly what I have written down here. I mean, the weekend was sort of Lando first, Carlos crying, and then Hamilton constantly fighting with the Haas. Depends on what race you're looking at. But, I mean, you could sum it up. Like I say, those three things happened. Otherwise, you didn't miss a whole lot. But
what if I went back to you in 2021 and I said, hey, Lewis Hamilton in 3 years is going to be battling it out with the Haas?
I wouldn't believe you. No, I wouldn't believe you.
That's insane.
I wouldn't. And I wonder if... Yeah. Well, fortunately, when he goes to Ferrari, he's going to have the new regulations. But that doesn't mean it's a solid thing, because clearly they haven't won a championship in quite a while. But but no, I don't think... I mean, I guess maybe that does bode well when you think about it, because that Haas has a Ferrari engine in it. So maybe he is like, you think he's have like some sort of envy for, God, I wish I was in that Haas car right now. So,
well, you know, what's funny is that, what's so funny to me is that Mercs, the people who are buying their engines from Merc, have somehow thought of an idea that is better than theirs.
That is,
like,
yeah.
Merc makes their engine for their car. And then they're like, okay, this is what we made up. You guys figure it out.
I guarantee they are feeling, I mean, they showed you the shot of Toto in the garage, just like head in hands, face
what
covered after,
dummy.
I think it was the sprint shootout. It's not a good look. It's really not a good look. It is. And I can see how it would be. I mean, it's got to be embarrassing on some level, especially if you're a team that you know, was just cranking out world championships. And now you're getting beat by not only one of your customer teams, but several of your customer teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, now that we're talking about Mercedes, I want to talk about one man in particular. That is Kevin Magnussen right off the bat. I want to just dive into it because I think we talked about it in the very first episode. I didn't really know about how this penalty point system worked.
Yeah.
But to my understanding, he has already collected 10 of the allowed 12 penalty points. So he's 2 penalty points away from having a race ban. Now, me, as a professional couch Formula One racer, I enjoy Kevin Magnussen. I enjoy what is happening. And he's kind of like, I know we should talk about Hulkenberg breaking the DRS off of him and kind of stranding K-Mag. To me, K-Mag is kind of like a little bit showing that the FIA is kind of, it's a joke, really. Like, the fact that you're able to do this is...
Yeah. So
it's crazy.
Do not like it at all. It has made me angry. But I guess I'm also equally angry that clearly a lot of this stuff is sort of within the rules. But it is, I think it's BS. Like, I just don't think, just, and it goes back to the race in what was it, Saudi Arabia, where he held up half the field.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That really ticked me off. And sure, of course, it doesn't help that I'm a fan of the guys that he held up. It really ticked me off. I just doesn't seem like racing. I mean, I get it. You go after the, oh, what a clever move. He helped his teammate out.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily the right way. And then, especially now, he's just sort of obstinate and he's doing it clearly on purpose. Like, once you gave him the first one, he said he thought, he goes, well, screw it. I mean, how about a couple more? You like that? You like that? You know? And he just, I mean, I don't mind him needling Hamilton. I don't know. Hamilton won so much that I hated him. He was like the freaking Yankees and it just drove me nuts. But now I'm starting to feel sorry for him a little bit. And so, you know, he got a raw deal. But Magnussen, so let me hard no for me.
Let me break this down for you. Okay. I'm looking at this sheet right here. 2 10-second time penalties in the sprint with Hamilton. Oh, no. 3 10-second time penalties for leaving the track and gaining advantage on Hamilton, basically just absolutely ignoring some chicanes. You got a 5-second time penalty for leaving the track without a justifiable reason. 10-second time penalty for the Logan Sargeant collision, and then a drive-through penalty converted to 20-second time penalty for entering the pits behind the safety car and not changing tires. So in total, he got 35. He got a minute and 5 seconds of penalty.
Yes, and you're telling me. So hold on now. Like, this is, I do have a problem with this, because this is the first time in my 6 or so plus years of being a fan that I've seen anybody get close to that driver's license penalty point situation. I mean, it's sort of been a joke. You're like, oh, you got 2 points on his license. And you're like,
right.
I mean, it's not even really a slap on the wrist. It means absolutely nothing. And so
I think, especially,
but I feel like it should be something now. Like, come on, bro. Yeah. This is,
yeah.
Like, if he got I would applaud a one race ban. I really would. And I might sound like an old man who doesn't like that. Like, I didn't like any part of it because it was so intentional. He was like the Hamilton part. He was like, screw you. Guess what? I'm just going to go off the track and around you again. Like, I don't even care. Yeah. Meanwhile, Hamilton's doing his best to try to actually do his job. And he's got this idiot over here. You know, some knucklehead in a hot hatch driving around on the shoulder. Like, it's, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think my rebuttal is, don't hate the player, hate the game. That's well, what I
would
say.
Make a very good point, though. You make a very good point that apparently you're allowed to do this. It's sort of,
yeah,
it's frowned upon, but it sure as heck isn't illegal, apparently.
And I feel like Haas, especially, like, Nico, maybe not so much so, but that their seats, like, so what? A one race ban, they get Behrman in there, or what's his name? Fitzgerald.
I don't know the answer to this. Is, can they just plug? Is it just the driver has to get banned and they can plug anybody they want in? Oh, yeah. Senna Haas doesn't even care. Like, we get our guy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we got a little sidetracked because we should have talked about Lando Norris.
Yes, he did bury the lead here.
Yeah. First race win. I mean, I didn't cry.
That sounds like like something a guy who cried would have said. Come on, man.
First of all, anytime they showed Lando, like, his onboard in those last 5 laps, I turned away. I could not. I was like, I was pacing around my room. My heart was beating so, because Singapore, sure, Max was there, but he didn't even make it to Q3. He had to work his way through the field. We all know what happened in Australia. This is the first time Max has been beaten purely on pace. He was on pole. He qualified on pole. This is the first time Max has been beaten purely on pace in what? I mean, definitely didn't happen all throughout 2023. So since 2022, a Ferrari probably.
This was shocking to me.
Shocking. The McLaren is legit.
Because, yeah, all right.
I have
one race does not make a season.
Affiliation to this team at all.
No, not at all.
No, but these upgrades were hauling ass on these mediums. I mean, it was.
So I think there was some uniqueness going on here that we don't see in a lot of other places where it was, first of all, it's only a one stop.
Right. It's a weird street circuit.
And apparently due to the track temp, you lost grip, but tires didn't deg. Which is a weird combination. You could just keep running on the tires. You just lost some right. grip. So it wasn't like you, which is, that math is hard for me to understand. I don't really get it, but what I really don't get is there's a safety car. I mean, it's pretty much right smack it. I think Magnussen tagged Sargeant like right in the middle, like halfway through the race.
Lap 29.
Yeah. So
tagged that brother.
So yeah, I was actually shocked that the announcers sort of the broadcasters sort of debated whether that might be Sargeant's fault. I'm sorry, dude. You got this. How could you, especially okay. with the culminate, like the adding up all the garbage that Magnussen had pulled already in the weekend.
Uh huh.
And then you go like, well, maybe it wasn't his fault. Come on, bro. That he. Get out of here.
I heard the funniest analogy. Someone said that K-Mag was trying to do, this is like someone blaming on Logan Sargeant. K-Mag was like trying to do like a very complicated dance routine with one of the most uncoordinated human beings on the planet. Because he shot it up the inside of a hole that was not really there.
No.
But I can't remember what turn it was exactly, but I don't think it was the same part of the track, but on lap one, the Alpines, this is a little off track, but that was fun to watch. But
those idiots are going to kill each other. I mean, not literally, that is bad news bears waiting to happen. So,
what were you saying about the safety car?
Oh, so that was very shocked because we had the safety car. The safety car is so used to picking up Verstappen that he picks up Verstappen in second place, which is kind of comical and causes all kinds of weird problems. But all right, then I ironed that out. Okay, the field bunches up like normal. Safety car pulls in. Lando is essentially the safety car now. He can choose when he wants to jump, and he jumps, and he does not get a very good jump at all. Like
oh
not
my
at all.
God, it was
you
bad.
Can tell he's not really been in that situation before. But
no.
Verstappen is on his tail. And I would say, if you ask me, I would say 99.99% of the time, I would tell you that Lando's going to get passed before like the third turn. If that's Max behind him, he's getting passed.
Yeah.
And I still can't believe, and I've seen this race 3 times now, I still can't figure out that gap just got bigger. And bigger, like
7.5 seconds.
Like it just
come to flag.
It was like the reverse Verstappen. I mean, the roles literally reversed, and I still can't figure it out. You're telling me you think that's all the upgrades? McLaren brings
it's 100% the upgrades because Piastri only had half the upgrades and he was quicker than the Ferraris. He overtook Leclerc. What
you got it? You know who you're talking about.
I get flamed for that in my comments all the time.
The monogasque. I can't even say that right. Anyways, I know what you mean. Him
Charles.
And his whiny little brother, too.
Yeah. Yes. But so Piastri was quicker than the Ferraris with half the upgrades. Lando was, I mean, it was really like not just pulling out a gap, but he was fastest lap. And
he was getting faster.
Faster.
And
we know how these McLaren upgrades have gone in the last year and a half. So, yes, I do think it's the upgrades. But to rebuttal that, to Red Bull's sake, they are by far still, I think, you know, not. It's not. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Miami is a pretty far outlier. It's very unique track. It was actually surprisingly fun race compared to the last 2 years.
I agree with you.
Really,
when you were texting me, we watched the last year's race and the 22 race. And last year's race was boring. It was straight up just boring. And seeing that now there must have been passes, but it just was not that exciting. This was wild. This was good. Like, and you could look, you at least had one wreck. You got a safety car. I think you got to have at least one safety car in there to mix it up, right? You got Max running over the cone, the bollard.
The bollard.
Which is just very unlike him. I mean, it could have almost got stuck in a side pod, which would have been wild too. But I'm so glad I didn't, because I think one of the coolest parts about this for Lando is this was fair and square. You can't say, sure, you
fair
can say
square.
The safety car helped him out, right? Safety car helped him out. But that's kind of the strategy he was playing for. That wasn't like, you know,
it was,
oops, look what I found. He hadn't pitted yet. They were clearly waiting. That's what they were waiting for. Like, now granted, they probably they would have had to pit it at least once, but I don't think they had plans to do it anytime soon. And they clearly showed that with the way the tires were going, the undercut, overcut, nothing was, it was sort of like you kind of came with what you got and either you're fast
Lando
or you
was
weren't.
Going faster than Max on his 20 something old mediums than Max's brand new hard tires. That says something for sure. And I don't want to get ahead of myself at all, but there was a legitimate chance for a championship fight this year, because there's two, in my opinion, I feel like there's too damn much controversy going inside the Red Bull team for them to focus on moving forward. They're imploding right now, and they're kind of playing damage control, you know, with you know, they got, I mean, there's a million problems they have. And by no means am I saying Red Bull's not the favorite. I'm just saying that this is going to be a much better season than last year. I think there will be other teams that win throughout this year. I'm not saying it's going to be a close championship fight. I'm just saying we might see like 3 or 4 more races where Max doesn't win.
I think looking at Max's face, I know he and Lando are actual buddies. And you could clearly tell he's stoked for his friend. But I felt like you could also see shock, surprise, disbelief. I think it's just bemusement. Yeah. He's just sort of like,
you want to talk about
that come from?
Bemusement. Did you see Hannah Schmidt's face on the pit wall?
Just consternation. They just can't figure out what just happened. They don't know what happened.
But it was the same deal in Singapore, so that's why I don't want to get ahead of myself. They were kind of like, what the hell is going on here?
And I still think Singapore, I'd say Singapore is different than, I mean, they went into that weekend, like FP1, they were like,
off.
They were having, yes, they were, that was, I would say, Singapore is, Red Bull lost that race, as opposed to, and this one, you know, in the Miami, Red Bull didn't lose that. Lando won that.
Yeah.
So,
won that.
All right, we got to get back on track though, because we're all over the place.
Well, you know, I think we pretty much covered the primary points of this weekend. RB, you know, we could talk about RB. They have legitimately turned into a solid midfield team.
Tsunoda has. I am not drinking the Ricardo Kool-Aid on this. He had a good sprint, but I mean, do you? For Ricardo, I think this is a step in the right direction. One step. I mean, because he was nowhere. Granted, he had that grid penalty, and he had to start at the back, and he was going to be stuck back there. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm thoroughly impressed by Tsunoda and continue to be so. It's unfortunate that apparently he will never get the top seat.
Oh my God.
But who knows? Maybe if when Red Bull, and I say when, Red Bull does implode.
Well, I've been seeing some We might have to jump into this. We might briefly talk about it today or maybe in like our news thing, but I've been seeing, I think James Vowles is absolutely delusional.
Dude, no, I have a note here. Please continue.
I've talked about how new he will come to Williams. I mean, he looked ridiculous.
I have a note here saying that Vowles looks serious as shit. He looked dead serious. Like, he looked at the camera and was, I thought, like, when they first mentioned it, I thought, oh, he's just joking around. Hell, of course we take a flyer on this guy. That's not the vibe I got from James Vowles talking about Nui. He sounded like, this isn't just a passing conversation. I'm going to make a run at this dude. And it sounded like he thinks he might have a chance, which is absolutely wild. And I think would never, oh, man. But I got super excited about that. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But
I feel like Nui has a better chance of going to Haas than Williams.
Come on, there's at least history. He's won a championship with Williams. He's had to watch these guys just get worse, I guess.
Well, I mean, Williams is an absolute, in my opinion. Williams is the slowest car on the grid.
That hurts, dude. That hurts.
You think it's
slower than the Sauber?
I think it's slower than the Sauber. I think the Sauber should have multiple points finishes if it weren't for these pit stops by now, especially in China. That wasn't a pit stop. That was Bottas' engine exploding. But in Australia, Bottas should have had points too. But then he got taken out.
Yeah. And now seeing Williams the two Alpines. Who were all supposed to be very excited about got their car under the weight limit and had a decent showing.
Decent.
I hate to admit this, but now that I actually see it on paper, I think you might be right. And that really hurts.
It's just, I know. I am very curious by the fact that RB, this is going to be so ambitious of me. But they've just had so many points finishes in the way Aston Martin looked. Could RB make a push for P5 in the championship? I know it's crazy.
Yeah, they're falling away for sure. But 19
points. 19 points in... We decided this is the sixth race of the year. 19 points in six races. I mean, that's already more than the team had last year, right? How many points did AlphaTauri have? AlphaTauri had... Oh, they had 25 points last year.
So they should easily eclipse that.
They're basically Alpine now. Like, they're what Alpine was supposed to be.
And what's rough for Williams is they came in with this track might suit us talk.
Oh my. And that's what my heart went out for you, because this was like, I heard Albon talking about it, like, all of the changes we made are perfectly meant for this track. This is where we'll really see the progress we made. And then they're fighting towards it. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Williams don't get any points.
I was just going to say that. I have concerns. The writing on the wall here seems to be that unless they have one of those crazy races where something wild, Perez does that Perez thing where he tries to take out the leader, like he did here. So one of those situations, but even then that happened when Verstappen got, had a DNF with the brake duct thing in Australia. That's the only way they're going to score points is if there's some calamity at the front.
Yeah.
And that
sucks.
There's
got to be something. Yeah.
While we're at it though, just real quick do you think Logan Sargeant makes it the whole year? What's your gut say right now?
Could we talk about how James Vowles is trying to play dumb? You are the one that requested Kimi Antonelli get his whatever early. And you're talking about, I don't know we have no, Logan is our, blah, blah, blah. Does he think we're dumb?
I understand it's a tightrope he's got to walk here because he's still got, one of the guys still works for him. But you concluded that same interview where he talked about Dogan and Nui. He also talked about other drivers for 20, like basically we're looking at drivers for next year and 2026. So that you don't have to read between the lines. That means that Sargeant is not one of the drivers you're looking at for 25 and 26. If you're looking at replacements, like I don't see,
he is on borrowed time.
And that sucks. That sucks.
I feel, yeah, it sucks. I actually feel like he didn't have a horrible weekend. Logan Sargeant qualified ahead of Albon in the sprint shootout. That was my favorite part of the whole weekend.
I was sad to see that record end too.
That was a low point for you.
What it sucks is like you can't. It's the same as when he got the 1 point in Austin last year, where he backed into it. Like he literally backed into this because Albon had a track limits.
That Williams team is lost. But okay, I feel like what do you rate this whole weekend out of 10?
I'm giving this the whole weekend. You include the sprint. The funny part where Leclerc got his car stuck facing backwards into the overpass. I really enjoyed that. And I really wanted to see him do like the 15-point turn to try and turn around. But
so did I.
He burned his clutch on. Okay, sorry. I'm giving, honestly, this was... Maybe I got caught up in the Lando business. I'm giving this like an 8.5 or a 9. This I think was the most entertaining race I've seen this year.
I would like to say this might be the most entertaining race I've seen in a long time, a very long time. I would go 9.5. I don't know how you get better than this. Really, I mean, like
you had all the right ingredients. There was plenty of on track. What was nice is that
plenty
even before the safety cars. I don't know if you so there's the good and the bad. You got sort of the field was still pretty close together, but the problem is that's because you had a DRS train in the middle. But there was still passing was happening. So there was passing action was on track. The pit stops became less of a I say less of a strategy.
I agree.
So
that was a minor.
There were some wild ones. There was, I think, Red Bull knocked out a couple 1.9s. Ferrari had 1.9. So I mean, that's impressive. I never like a one stop. I always prefer the two stop. Just for the added,
element.
Yeah,
I agree. I'll bump mine back down to a 9. I feel like strategy could have been better, and I feel like it would be fun one of these days to see like a battle to the very finish for P1. Lando put this thing away. Absolutely put it away.
Like the Brazil, the Sao Paulo one last year with Checo and Alonso. A photo finish. I would like to see a photo finish. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
These two cars, we might get it though. We might get it. I can't imagine.
This might be a good year. Oh, I'm excited weekend.
And especially if both, because I think Lando's do you think Lando's a better driver than Piastri?
Yeah.
I think he's got certainly more experience, and maybe that's what's giving him the upper hand.
I think Piastri has just raw, like when I think of Piastri, I just think of like super raw, untapped pace. Like he is, you saw it kind of in the fight with he's so aggressive lap one too. Like he's not scared of anyone. He gets his elbows out all the time. He lacks the tire management. He lacks the experience.
I think it'll come. I keep taking us side paths here.
No, this is a fun. I'll tell you what though. Next weekend we'll either make or break the entire Formula One fan base's hearts, because if we get in and Max on pole by 0.4 and wins by 45 seconds, be a lot of broken hearts. But the way this is looking, this is gonna be a fun year. Okay, let's dive into our picks here. Because I've been waiting for this the whole episode. Right. Okay. Let's start with sprint pole. Your pick was?
Hold on. Let me find out where we were. This is not going to be great for me.
No.
Stand by.
Let me pull up the results there to make sure we get all our stuff here.
Got like 18 things open. So much prep. I know. My sprint pole.
Yes.
Leclerc.
And you actually were pretty dang close there, sir.
Yeah.
Verstappen barely got him. And am I tripping out, or was sprint the one where Verstappen was like, how the hell did I?
That was my favorite, honestly, when he responded with, when he responded, because it's him, he's so like Verstappen-y. I rerun that like three times. The lol, okay. Yeah. Like that cracked me up. He's got some undercover funny in there sometimes.
I like Max. Max is fun.
It's the winning that irritates me. And you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're just like, all right.
If he was like P3 right now, Max would probably be one of my favorite drivers, honestly. You're so right about that. Okay. Well, I, for the sprint pool, I got my prediction a little mixed up, but we'll get into my big jackpot later. I said Norris or Lando, and it was looking real good. When they were qualifying on the mediums, it was looking real good for me. But he qualified P9, I believe. So, yeah, we're 0-0 here.
Yeah.
Sprint race. Let's take a look at your...
We're in the ballpark, though. We're not idiots.
We're in the ballpark.
We're not idiots.
Well, you're a little closer than I was. But I feel like my guess was warranted. Yeah. Okay. Sprint race podium. Who did you have?
I had Max, Charles, and Lando.
Oh, my. You almost nailed that.
Pretty close. It was pretty close.
Wow. Well, I got 0. I said Lando wins the sprint race. And Max comes second and Leclerc comes third, which is crazy because that's what happened in the race. I feel like I should get a bonus point for that. It's fine though. You know what? Because I have so much knowledge of
that's what it is.
I haven't missed one of my insane guesses. So
knowledge and modesty is how I would describe you, sir.
Incredibly humble. Yes. As well. Right now, you're up 2 points to none on me. GP pool. Oh, no.
I do like that we get partial points for this. I didn't know how you wanted to do this. But, yeah, 2 out of 3, I like the way you did that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not all or nothing.
Yeah. Okay. Grand Prix pool. Who did you have there, sir? Best driver of the weekend.
Dude, okay, I had Carlos Sainz. I got to tell you, we'll get to this later.
We will get to it later.
I was so high on this guy, and it's... Yep. All right.
You were drinking the Sainz Kool-Aid, and I was drinking the Sergio Kool-Aid, and I said he was going to get pulled. I thought we were going to see some Miami Magic, street track. Perez always pulls something out of the bag. You were closer than I was again.
Yeah. I could have told you that was a bad pick. But was that the one where I said, is there any more that you want to get wrong? Or is that the...
No, that was the... I need to pull up.
Because if that was the actual...
Okay, wait. Yeah, wait. I think I had it as Max and then I changed it to Perez to be exciting. Okay. The Grand Prix podium. Who did you have? Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Stop scrolling. I had Grand Prix podium. Man, is that what I really picked? What an idiot. Max. Max Perez Piastri.
You chose the safe guess.
We
both thought, yeah.
So, man.
I said Max Perez Lando. We both had Red Bull McLaren.
Yeah.
We both missed everything. You know,
I gotta say, I think before you know, this the safety car and everything else happened, there's a chance it could have been this. Well, I guess Piastri got ahead of Perez.
There. Yeah, Perez was kind of a little lost this week.
Piastri was definitely on pace for a podium
at least the P3.
Yeah.
Well, so we didn't in our predictions episode, we the next category is dead last finisher, and we specified that they have to finish, right? It can't be a DNF.
Correct. You have to finish the race.
Otherwise, You would have got this point, sir. But unfortunately, who was your pick?
That was a safe pick, I thought. Logan Sargent. Logan Sargent.
And he...
He was a DNF. A DNF. Oh, that's actually good. I didn't realize. I forgot because I thought it was going to be Albon then after that. But once you tallied up all of that moron Magnussen's penalties, he's actually dead last. Joe did pretty...
Yeah. P14, okay, so my pick was Joe, and he had a very anonymous, decent, I feel like a Sauber signature race.
Yeah. Yeah, we should say what we picked in case someone didn't listen to the last episode. You're right. Yeah. You picked Joe, and you were wrong.
Okay. But I was very wrong. Let's get into my favorite category, and I'll have you first. I'll have you say yours first.
My out of left field wild prediction was that both Ferraris would take each other out at some point in the race.
You were close.
Yeah, I was expecting a lot more animosity after what happened at what was it, China?
Yeah,
but. Yeah, it could have happened. I mean, I'd have been closer if I said, you know, both Red Bulls take each other out, which was more almost happened too.
Oh, but, baby. Yes. Well, the moment I have been waiting for, I've come to collect my reward. My crazy prediction at a right field, Lando Norris wins a race this weekend, and oh, baby, was I right? Oh my god! Immediately when you took the lead during the sprint, or hello, during the safety car, I checked the document to make sure that's what I picked because I was beside myself. But my one, I feel like my one point is such a valuable point to me. That point is worth more than the point. You know what I mean? That point did something to me emotionally. And I think I'm geared up to absolutely dominate you in the picks this year. I am down 2-1.
Okay, now, we'll just slow down. What is the total here? Come on, what is the total here?
Oh, wait. You know what, though? What makes me very upset is I actually would have got the same amount of points if I got my crazy prediction wrong, because we agreed if we got everything wrong, you get a bonus point. That's funny. Well, those are our picks. I'm down 2-1. But let's get into our driver ratings for this week.
I don't know. I think we may have to... I mean, if you nail P1 somewhere, we'll revisit this. It might have to be worth more than just... A regular point. And not like, you know, picking P3. You picked P1. So right. Let's, going forward, we could reevaluate how
I might
we
be able
score
to negotiate
this.
It.
Because it's definitely worth value. It's definitely worth more than me getting 2 out of 3 on the podium. Or yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's hop into driver ratings. What did you give Mr. Your godly figure, Mr. Alexander Albon. Yes.
I didn't want to. I got to give him... I want to give the team a C, less the driver, but I'm going to have to just... You know what? I have to give him a C. I didn't even know what happened there at the end.
No idea.
They clearly had serious issues with tires. He couldn't qualify. He's talking about... The tires fell off a cliff after turn 3. He couldn't even get to you. So it was just not a great look. I'm giving him a C+ just because I like him.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah, he's working with what he's got.
Because I just felt like it's more the team than Albon. Like both Williams drivers kind of did the same thing for me this weekend, and they just, it's not their fault. Really. All right. Logan Sargent. What did you give the American?
F.
I don't understand.
That's really harsh. I think I was just angry. I'm going to give him a D. I didn't realize how harsh that sounded until I just said it. I'm going to give him a D. I just honestly
he qualified ahead of Albon in the sprint shootout.
Yes, as we said, he backed into that. My problem here is he seems super likable, nice kid. I just don't think he's got. Like, do you think if you plugged him into? Oh, so you plugged Sargeant into the McLaren? Do you think he's run around the top five?
No, Logan Sargeant is the worst driver in Formula One. Undisputably. I gave him a C. I felt like him and Albon were in the same boat. The crash, we can debate about it, but it wasn't really his fault. Magnussen shot it up a hole that wasn't there. I gave Sargeant a C. Anonymous. Bottas. Valtteri Bottas.
Now, I give him a C too. Just, I'd like your word, anonymous. He, you know, they didn't have any wild, weird, and, you know, we're going to do Joe next, but yeah, I give him a C. He was sort of neither here nor there and not anybody's way. They really didn't even mention him. When I think about it.
Yeah, I gave him a C as well. He was in that, not in the fight for points midfield deal, backfield, I should say. Yeah, kind of anonymous. And his teammate, Zhou Guan Yu.
I gave him a C again, honestly, for the same reasons. I almost forgot that Sauber was there.
Yeah, they didn't get a lot of screen time. I gave Joe a C plus. That's a big high C plus. I gave it to him because he was kind of in almost that fight for that 10th position. Not really, but I felt like he had a decent weekend. He was kind of just there-ish. I'll give him a C. I think I'm being too biased towards him. All right. The Alpines. Pierre Gasly.
Oh my dude! I gotta. I guess it could be nicer. I guess. I gave Gasly a C. You know, it was fun watching him fight a little bit. He did better. I just sort of again. This whole mid pack here was just rather anonymous. It was wild to see him. The fighting at the beginning. But yeah, I was neither impressed nor it's kind of.
I gave him a C as well for the same reasons. Espen Ocon, the Alpine point scorer, my favorite driver on the grid.
That guy's such a.
What'd you give him here, sir?
Piece of crap. I dislike no way him. D minus.
There's no way this rating has no emotional impact.
This guy got points. I do not like anything about them or him or anything he did. Did he earn the D minus? Yes, he did. He's a total dillweed. That fight at the beginning, you're like, you're just asking for trouble. So, no. I stand by my pick. Or my grade, D minus.
It's crazy that Joe, Bottas, and Gasly have a Ocon, I gave him an A minus. I felt like there's literally nothing else he could have done better in the Alpine. And his picture with Fernando Alonso after the race on his Instagram was pretty awesome. I don't know if you saw it, the big old smiley selfie. That kind of made me chuckle a little bit and bumped him up from a B plus to an A minus because that selfie.
She did the extra credit.
Yeah, he did the extra credit. He took a picture with Daddy Alonso. Nico Hülkenberg, the Haases. What'd you give him, sir?
I gave him a C plus. I felt. There was some iffy stuff going on with the way he was fighting Hamilton. There was a lot of moving under braking. There was I don't know. And some of the I just thought I really liked Hülkenberg before. Some of his stuff rubs me the wrong way for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. Good for him for landing a new job. That's great. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm actually going to, real quick, I'm bumping Gasly up to a C+. I just saw that he finished P9 in the sprint, which I feel like is pretty solid. Nico Hülkenberg, sorry to get a little sidetracked there. I gave Nico Hülkenberg B+, P7 in a sprint, P11 in the race. That's a solid weekend. I understand that his partner in crime almost committed a terrorist attack on the grid throughout the whole weekend, but I thought a B plus. Now talk about that partner in crime, K Mag, your favorite driver right now. I see you gave him an A plus.
Oh, I did.
What's going on there?
I gave it an F. I was thinking about just sort of what looks like you did, but giving it an incomplete. But I don't think that truly describes just the horrendous showing this guy had. I don't like any part of what he did and repeated to do. Yeah. And I understand if I sound like a grumpy old man. It wasn't racing.
Yeah. I gave him a D plus. It was entertaining, dangerous. I agree, not racing, but he's playing within the rules that are set for him. And he's the ultimate team player, but definitely not.
I tell you what, though,
or good racing.
If he's doing this stuff, and it's like I guess his teammate, like Hulkenberg, I think I'm way more entertained. And it's sort of like house on house crime. I think I like that better. But he's taking the fight to other teams and just trying to ruin people's days.
Yeah.
I'm not on board.
Let's dive into the RBs, starting with... Oh, shoot. Sorry. Timer's going off. 1 second. Okay. Let me just cut us back in. All right. So now the RBs. One of our favorite drivers here on the pod. Mr. Yuki Tsunoda, what'd you give him?
Oh, what did I give Yuki? I gave Yuki an A. I gave a well-earned A. A solid A.
Okay.
And he's just sort of like telling Horner and these guys, giving him the finger.
I'm that guy.
Like, bro, what else? What do you want me to do?
I gave him an A-. I thought the only reason A minus is because of qualifying. Really, he kind of wasn't existent.
Yeah, they were kind of one was good on one day, that was good the other day, and they're just sort of mixed and match. But
He got P10.
You combine both of those into one guy, they had an amazing weekend.
They had a great weekend. Yeah, I say A minus for Yuki. I feel like he could have had, double points finish. You know what? He's getting an A. I'm bumping him up. I'm being harsh. He gets an A, double points finish. What more can you ask out of an RB? And his teammate, Mr. Daniel Ricciardo. What'd you give him?
C+. I'm a C+.
That is disgraceful.
And I'm thinking, I'm going to change this.
P4 in an RB.
Yeah, I'm going to give him his due. He did well. He had a
horrible race. I mean, not horrible. Just
But I also feel he started with the grid penalty. He started in P20.
Grid penalty, yes. Yeah.
So he was kind of.
He didn't qualify great. Yeah, though. Let's not forget that.
I give him a B minus.
I give him a B plus because I feel like it was a good turnaround. I cannot believe. Maybe it's just mentally in his head, but I feel like the chassis actually kind of made a bit of a difference. Possibly,
yeah. It's just a kind of placebo effect. Like he thinks there's a difference. Placebo. So,
yeah.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah, I gave him a B+. He was solid. It was a good uptick for Ricardo. If he keeps it up in this direction, I think he'll be a Formula One driver next year. All right. The Astons and your favorite driver on the grid, Lance Stroll.
As an Aston fan, this guy he wasn't running into the back of people, rear-ending them.
No, he wasn't. A+.
I don't think I heard his radio one time. I mean, whining about something. I didn't hear that.
Oh, wait. Why? Oh, my. We're completely forgetting about how Lewis and Alonso just annihilated him from the sprint race.
He was gone right at the beginning. That's right. That was weird. You get a whole weekend, and then you get prepared for this thing, and then it's over in like 48 seconds. yeah, that's why he was anonymous, because he wasn't there. You can clearly see that I'm handing out grades on personal sort of gripes and vendettas and things like that. Yeah, I was not. Whatever. This guy can go away.
I'm actually going to change my grade. I was agreeing with you, but I just saw something that changed my mind. Lance Stroll out-qualified Fernando Alonso in the shootout and in qualifying.
You're actually right. He did do that. So... sort of like, what's going on with have we got this?
With Alonso.
Oh, Alonso's next. Yeah. Ah, look, I gave him a C. I thought he earned a C.
Oh, wait. I gave Stroll a C+.
Okay. That was very
Stroll C+.
Generous of you. You're right, though. Alonso, he beat his teammate. He beat his teammate. You're absolutely right.
You gave Alonso a C.
I gave Alonso a C. He is another guy who basically had an anonymous race. I mean, he was in the points.
Yeah. Right.
Two of them.
Wait. Alonso. Oh, wait. For the sprint, he.
No, for the. Yeah. Sorry. I'm looking at the race results. He's P9.
Yeah, he had a good, he had a solid race.
So it's just, I think he worked with what he had. Clearly, Aston is behind.
Yeah. They're pretty solidly the fifth place team right now. I gave him, I'm going to say C+. I felt like he could have done better in qualifying. Had a pretty solid race, which is why. I should give him a B. I'll give him a C+. You know, both Astons were kind of like middle. All right. Mercs, Lewis Hamilton.
I give him a B. He was fighting hard. He was, I saw a lot of good racing out of this guy.
Yep. I gave him a B minus. He was entertaining.
He kept his cool. Yeah.
He kept his cool.
He, it looked frustrating to him.
It looked very frustrating. Yeah. And he showed Lando love too, which I thought was pretty wholesome. He was like, man, actually all the drivers showing Lando love was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I agree.
We're going on to the next driver here. I feel like there might be a little bias here again. what'd you write, George Russell?
Like, I didn't understand the assignment, apparently. No, the... I'm just going to give him... See, did he be... He was behind...
He was behind
Hamilton.
Let's say what your original grade was, though. You gave Russell a D after finishing the points place behind
him. I'm giving him a C. I gave Russell a C. He also just said, like, he just sort of nowhere. I realize they're focusing on the guys in the very front, but I didn't hear a whiny radio call from him. He did well. I think they're just that. I think the Mercedes is just a meh. Team.
Right meh. They're a solidly midfield team now. Yeah. I gave him a C+. It's not really the drivers, it's the machine. Lewis is battling his arse off and didn't finish too much ahead. So C+ for George Russell. All right. The man of the hour from the papaya, Lando Norris. What'd you give him?
I give Lando Norris an A+. I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Any like, reason for that?
The guy, I'm so happy for the dude. I really am. Like he cracks me up. He really does. His radio messages are some of the best. I love the way.
Yes.
I really like the radio call where they had where the engineer tells him to, hey, maybe we should go after Sainz in front of us instead of worrying about Perez behind us. And he's just like, yeah, I'll go get him.
Yeah. I'll go get him.
Yeah.
I agree.
I like that.
You can't hate Lando. Yeah. I gave him A++++++++++. I gave him A+. I'm looking at our China ratings. Right now, Lando Norris is on gear to win our ratings for the year. But yeah, same reasons as you. And I feel like now that he got the win too, this is going to, like, now that Band-Aid's ripped off.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to stop talking about that.
Start reeling him off.
Yeah. Okay. His teammate, Oscar Piastri.
I gave Oscar a B. I think he got a raw deal. I don't know. You know what I'm going to do here? I changed my grade to A-. I give it A-. Only because I feel like he was fighting at the front. He was looking at a podium. And then he
finished ahead of Lando in the sprint.
Yeah, and then he got into a tussle with your buddy Sainz. So I think he fell way back down. He fell way down. And I don't think that was, I think he, yeah, I think
he would have been on the podium. That's what sucks with it, for that,
with the penalty system. So they, I mean, Sainz still took a penalty for that, and it was, and he lost, he went from fourth to fifth, right? Which sucks, but the damage he did to Piastri took him out of it. It took him completely, no. Still got no points. So yeah. It doesn't seem like it's apples to apples. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, yeah. I run over your front wing and I get a slap on the wrist and you have to go home with nothing.
With literally nothing. Yeah. I gave him a B+. Piastri was right there with Lando in qualifying the whole weekend. Out-qualified him in the sprint. Was on for a podium. Had an incredible lap one in the race. And he got dealt a short stick by fucking Kermit the Frog. Cannot stand Carlos. All right. Man, I'm a huge Papaya fan. I actually do like Sainz. Like, in general, I think he's actually a really fun guy. I actually really like Sainz. But sometimes, like, weekends like this, when he's just, like, complaining on the radio, it's a little frustrating. Let's drive the Ferrari, though.
Sainz, so he didn't just complain once. Like, he complained over and over again.
Yeah.
And out of something that was totally crazy and wild, he basically did the equivalent of, like, I'm gonna tell your mom to on you. Like, he wanted Ferrari pit wall to go talk to the McLaren pit wall and tell them to give him the plates back. Have them call over there and tell them to give him the plates back. Like, when has that ever been a thing that we do? That's not get out of here. Come on. Yeah. He just sounds so whiny. There was one where he, I think it was Australia last year, where he, on a restart, he caused the collision, and it sounded like he was going to cry. Oh, come on, no, no. Like, just, it was, he just would not let it go.
Ricky.
Yes. There's a couple of Rickies in there.
What did you give Sainz?
I gave him a D-.
I gave him a D- too.
For being an absolute tool. Like, I just cannot. I took a really big hit.
He was very Karen-y this weekend, but I still think he's a good driver. I think he's... I still love Sainz, but he made me upset this weekend. Charles Leclerc, what'd you give him?
I gave Charles a B.
I gave him an A-. I felt he was solid.
Yeah, he got a podium. He was there. He kept his nose clean. There was, you know, a good overtake with Hamilton where they both gave each other room. It looked good. I was impressed.
Looked good.
Yep.
Looked very good from Mr. Leclerc. Moving on to the Red Bulls. The shock of the weekend. Not really. McLaren's probably more of a shock. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sergio Perez.
I gave Perez a D. Just be...
Wow.
Yeah. I'll explain the curve that I grade on, because I know it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Emotions are involved. He had a P4. I don't know. He's just... I don't think a D's fair.
I'm changing it to a C.
But look...
I gave him a C because... An A for Sergio is a P2. He was not there, but he wasn't like... I mean, he finished P4, so like... He was there. If you consider Max finished P2, I'm still saying it's a good thing, but I'm marking him down because of turn one in the sprint, which was insane. And then he finished behind Leclerc in the sprint. I would say C. Maxwell Verstappen. I gave him an A. I felt like he literally did he got double poles in the qualifying. He won the sprint, and then his machinery was just lacking in the race. He did run into the cone, which was a mistake.
Yeah.
Any other driver, I feel like, is an A+.
Yeah. I think, look, he gets credit for, you know, he brings some of his gravitas with him. Like, he's getting, you don't win almost every single race. And
yeah.
So, but I think for you, though, you said his machinery. I don't know. I mean, what you really want to hear is that His car was perfectly fine, and the McLaren is just better.
Yes, I agree.
That's going to be
understand. I thought I heard somewhere he had some minor floor damage, which kind of broke my heart. But that might be just a rumor. And I know that he was missing some rear grip, I believe. Yeah. But that's racing, baby.
Yeah.
That's racing. Yeah. So,
let's see what happens. What happens next. Yeah.
And that's the perfect segue, because we will see you guys. We're going to do a little catch up. We're going to catch up with all you. We're going to do our predictions, but we're going to, you know, we got our eyes out on the Nui situation. We got our eyes out on silly season, because it feels like things are moving quick. You know, we had Nico signed. So things are happening in the Formula One world, and we're going to be here to update you on it. Any final thoughts?
Well, let's see. What do we have next?
What like do catch we up have? And pre-race predictions.
Yeah.
We have a sprint
that
next
is
week. Imola.
May 17th. So we should. So we have no race this weekend. Which sucks. I'm looking forward to when we get the triple headers, or at least the double headers. The triple headers are the best. Because it sucks. Usually, like, and you're so into all this, and then you got to wait. Stinking! It feels like forever. Absolutely forever.
Next week.
So yeah, I would say
the drivers are just worn out. They're all freaking dead.
Yeah. So
they just want to. Yeah.
Once again.
Okay.
Thank you to our friends and family who have listened to us. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? We really appreciate it. Check out all our stuff. Like and subscribe.
We're going to be doing some fun stuff. And just make sure you guys are tuned in so you can be a part of it.
Yep.
And
we're just rolling. We're trying to find our groove here. We're going to get it. This is going to be good.
Yeah, baby. All right. Well, we'll see you guys in a few days. Formula One's in a good place, baby. Let's go. Bye-bye.